Hey, we are the Heat Changers. And are everywhere.
Hey, Marisol. I saw your reels from Mexico when you took the Inner Solar people to the pyramids at Teotihuacan. Oh, it brought back so many memories of when we visited in 2019. It's such a spectacular place. And, I mean, it looks like you had a really good time and that it was a big success, huh?
Indeed. We wanted to offer additional networking opportunities to key accounts and partners of Intersolar Mexico while doing some sightseeing. And Teotihuacan was the perfect place. But guess what? Now you can just admire the pyramids from the ground because it's no longer possible to go up there anymore, which I think is good because we need to preserve them.
Yeah, I, having visited so many states in Mexico, like Jalisco and Oaxaca, Mexico City and the Yucatan, there's just so much rich culture and, yes, so much of it revolves around the sun. The sun is your constant companion, and that shows up in, you know, the plants too, like the agave plants that I saw all of you admiring on your trip. With all of that sun, it must be the perfect destination for solar companies from abroad.
True. In fact, the size of the exhibition floor almost tripled compared to last year's event, and there were enough topics for 12 discussion panels at the conference. By the way, Alexandra had an excellent participation remotely in the panel Solar Lobbying in the Energy Transition. The idea was to share some of that experience with the Mexican audience, including also the solar associations, of course, so they can push for more solar roofs also in Mexico.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. We have a tendency to think that Europe is so far away and so different from countries like Mexico, but Europe is a huge geographical area, and places like Spain and Greece and even Italy have more similarities than we might think. And I mean, that could make the exchange about solar policy worth it.
I fully agree, and that's why I invited her and also Pascual Polo from the Spanish Solar Thermal Association. I mean, Spain is a good reference in terms of regulations and support programs for solar thermal, and since we have a lot in common, I believe there are many aspects we could consider in future regulations for the Mexican market. But let's focus on the EU and the Energy Performance Buildings Directive.
Now the EPBD is at an advanced stage, but not yet closed. So they started, we have on the table now all the proposals from the Commission, from the Parliament, from the Council, and they have started the negotiation. Ideally, they should reach an agreement in trilogue by the end of the year, because otherwise it risks to be extended to the next term. We are looking at the EPBD overall, but inside the EPBD, the most important point for us from the directive is the solar mandate.
And if I've learned one thing from doing all these podcasts with you, it's that it's super important for all of us that solar thermal technologies are considered in this directive as well.
Now we call for an ambitious solar rooftop or solar mandate initiative to accelerate both solar thermal and for PV, photovoltaics, as well as the hybrid option of PVT. And I mentioned that because there are already some countries now that have a solar mandate. Some of them cover both solar thermal and PV, but some others are only for PV.
Also in Mexico, we need to make sure that the context of solar energy is expanded to solar thermal instead of reduced to solar PV. If there is a solar mandate in Mexico ever, we also need to make sure that it is an inclusive and comprehensive mandate that considers all solar technologies, so users can maximize the potential of buildings to make the best use of solar energy for both heat and power.
Consistently with the Renewable Energy Directive, we want to make sure the solar mandate text will clearly state and be understood by all the stakeholders that solar energy means both solar thermal and solar photovoltaic. The idea would be for the design of the new buildings and the renovation of existing buildings to prioritize the use of rooftops for the installation of solar thermal and solar PV or PVT in conjunction with green rooftop, like green roof solutions.
Israel actually has a regulation in place since the 1970s where if you have a house or a hotel, you actually have to put on your rooftop a solar thermal system. And that made it the highest penetration at some point. Now it's sharing this title with Cyprus or maybe Austria per capita of solar thermal collectors. So this goes a long way back. Since there was such a regulation, a few players, manufacturers of solar thermal collectors and also export companies in this regard came to be in the Israeli market. And that drove, I believe, the situation that we're at right now. It is primarily in buildings, residential, not so much in industry, although there is some penetration. Of course, with the regulation of also hotels having to put them in place, they're also in commercial and let's say in army bases, not so much in industry. And this is something that we're trying to change.
He is Zvika Klier, CEO of the company Tigi from Israel. He's an electrical engineer who joined the company 10 years ago. Tigi is a company focusing on renewable generation and storage of heat, especially for larger users, mostly industrial and some commercial. Tigi is traded on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange and is still a small company with 20 people and a dozen of projects, but very technology-oriented. Israel ranks third in the worldwide installed capacity of solar thermal systems per capita, just after Barbados and Cyprus, and followed by Austria and Greece.
You know, that makes me think about all of the shiny solar roofs from Athens that I saw in one of your Instagram stories. I mean, and if they're number five, then what must it look like in Israel that's number three in the world ranking? I wonder, why is the European market interesting for a company like Tigi? And how do they go about entering the market?
Europe is highly aware of renewables and of clean energy. And on top of that, with the Russia invasion to the Ukraine and the increase or the rise of the cost of fossil fuels, coupled with questionable availability of natural gas and the will to avoid having to need Russian gas at some point, which created regulation. I don't want to say that we're only interested in Europe. As an example, we have just finalized the project in California with another partner, Solid, which you're familiar with, for a large industrial factory over there, and we see multiple other opportunities in the United States. But Europe seems to be close, seems to be aware, and has additional reasons why this makes sense.
The preliminary data we have from 2022, so from last year, shows a remarkable average growth of 14% in the solar thermal sector in Europe versus the year before, so 2021. And we have markets such as Germany, Greece, Italy, Poland, France, and the Netherlands that had significant double-digit growth last year, ranging from 10 to 40% compared with the previous years.
Within Europe, we see specific opportunities in Italy, in Austria, in Spain, in the Netherlands, in France. And these opportunities actually vary and quite dynamically because countries are putting in place programs that support renewable heat at their own pace. And we're following up. We're looking to find the right partners. We don't have the capacity to do a large number of projects in other places. And we don't have demonstration projects in all of these markets. So we are looking for partnerships.
As you may recall, many players from the European solar thermal market gathered in Athens in June at the event called Solarize Heat in Greece, where the latest market data from the European market was presented by Solar Heat Europe. So Approaching local and regional industry associations is key to enter the market because it is a way to get accurate market information and look for partners.
The forecasts for the current year also indicate a growth trend for the market. So the main idea is that we are growing, but it feels like we are not moving as fast as we should if we take in consideration the global context, the energy crisis, the climate crisis. And when I say that we are not moving fast enough, I think that goes for all renewables, especially in the heating and cooling sector. So we've got to speed up our game. And when I say we, I mean both policymakers, but also industry. And yeah, when we look at the recent extreme weather events in Europe and around the world, they are like the real life evidence of what climate change is doing, sort of like maybe a mirror or a reflection of how we've acted as a society, and we must do better. And I think we can do better.
And if the industry wants to speed up, that means that the businesses are going to have to adapt their products to be able to get into new market segments and have greater impact. So what does it take for a company that, say, specializes in solar roofs for households, so small systems, to larger roofs for, say, bigger companies or for whole different industrial sectors? That has to require a lot of innovation.
TE is still working on new ways to improve performance and decrease the cost. What TE has done is it invented a new type of solar thermal collector that is a flat collector that actually deals with the Achilles heel of flat plate collectors, being that they are not thermally insulated on the sun-facing side. TE has invented a collector that has transparent insulation on the sun-facing side, which is a material and manufacturing technique which are very unique. The result is that we minimize the losses, primarily convection losses, and we actually produce much more heat per square meter, especially if it's very cold outside or if you need higher temperatures. We have a sealed flat collector, the only company that has sealed flat plate collectors, and so that requires technology and innovation.
So, highly efficient collectors are ideal for the integration of solar thermal systems in industrial processes, for instance. Where the space is limited, the solar resource might not be the highest, and higher temperatures than in the residential sector are required.
I believe that the huge potential is actually on the industrial side. We focused on the higher temperatures and focused on large heat users, and that usually requires dramatically more understanding of industrial processes and integration and using the waste heat and optimizing storage and optimizing software and control at the system level, not only with collectors but also with heat pumps. And we focus on storage and we focus on cloud services and remote optimization and maintenance, etc., etc.
So you've explained several times how much attention is given to the PV industry. And I guess that industry is growing exponentially, partially due to that obvious support on the policy side. But when I think about myself and households and companies, we're not necessarily energy specialists, and it's hard for us to understand whether to focus on power or heat to decarbonize, as well as which technology is the best investment. So from everything I learned, it seems like it would make sense to look for synergies between players from both industries, PV and solar thermal. What opportunities are there?
And in that regard, I think integration partners could be from two areas. One is people doing industrial process heat, and they come from older technologies and more conservative, but they're players in the heat domain. They understand the industry side, they understand integration with the processes and the hydraulics, etc., etc. The other area, I believe, is working with the renewable electricity players, PV players, the ones especially that focus on commercial and industrial rather than utility grade. If some of these players would come to a factory and say, we're not only focusing on your electricity, frequently only 25% of the energy in the industry, We will also provide a heat solution for you, and we will integrate with your processes. All of a sudden, you can add solar thermal collectors and heat pumps. The heat pumps would require electricity, so you can build a larger PV field. You are dramatically reducing the CO2 emissions as compared to the previous offering, and specifically scope one, which is a very high challenge right now.
We also discussed at the InterSolar Mexico conference how suppliers can offer technologies and designs that maximize solar energy production in a limited space, allowing for more efficient and cost-effective generation of energy. For instance, Daniel Garcia from Modulo Solar presented projects in Mexico City that demonstrate the feasibility and advantages of integrating PV and solar thermal systems on the same roof.
In the long term, by the way, I think partners would be the large utilities who are now selling gas and electricity, but are looking for ways to reduce CO2 emissions for themselves and for their customers. Today, some of them are already offering to finance, let's say, PV on the rooftops of their customers. But on the heat side, they don't have a renewable solution that they're offering. They would finance these solutions and offer the end users, be it residential, commercial, or industrial, a combination of renewable and non-renewable solutions. Part of them would come in a pipe or on a wire, and part of them will be installed locally. And I think this is the point where our industry will grow the fastest and the impact will be the biggest. I'm waiting for this to happen.
The industrial sector has an enormous pressure to decarbonize and to mitigate the risk of energy supply from fossil fuels. So I expect that they will also push for more favorable public policies. For instance, in Mexico, the hot topic is nearshoring. From the US perspective, it is to reduce the dependency from China. For Mexico, it means more foreign direct investment. And here, the Mexican government will have to respond to the industry's demand for cleaner energy. So next year, when we have the presidential elections in Mexico, it will mean our next chance as a country to accelerate the energy transition.
The hot topic in Brussels right now are the upcoming elections at EU level taking place in June next year. And the next few months are gearing up to be quite eventful, quite intense, I would say. Both the European Commission and the European Parliament are in the final stages of implementing and wrapping up various initiatives before finishing their terms. This means we will intensify our engagement with EU institutions during this time to ensure that our concerns are considered by the incoming policymakers. So in our case, our primary focus is of course on highlighting the importance of heat decarbonization and renewable heating and cooling, with particular emphasis on solar thermal technologies.
You know, protecting our planet is not as straightforward as preserving the pyramids at Teotihuacan. We can't just put up barriers. So time and time again, we come back to the importance of both educating consumers like me, as well as policymakers, that if we want to make our climate goals, we need to create solutions that integrate solar thermal technologies. The work you and your colleagues do is so impressive, Marisol. Thank you.
And are you ready to become a heat changer?